It's been a busy, crazy summer. We've had a lot of activity going on, a lot of things that we still have planned throughout the month of August. And then I'm actually looking very forward to September when we all can just kind of settle in a little bit and find out what it is that the Lord has for us as a body of people. There is a message that's been stirring in my heart for quite some time, and haven't had many opportunities to share with you from behind the pulpit. So perhaps it's even a culmination of many things that the Lord is stirring in me. But I want to talk to you this morning about the reality that God is speaking. God is speaking. And what I'd like to do, if you can put up Isaiah on the board. Yes? No? Talk to me for a minute, guys. Okay. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55, would you please? And if you guys would have the video ready to go. Isaiah 55, are you there? You got your Bibles with you today? Just a little side note for you. I was flipping through one of the books that Jacob brought home from Fine Arts and National. And one of the things I had noticed in that book was one of the challenges. I didn't even read all the details of how it was going to work, but it's just been so much on my mind. They apparently, there's this part of ministry where they're challenging these young people to carry their Bibles for 30 days. I don't know what that was all about, but wow, man, that struck me for a minute. I tried to envision that. Imagine for 24/7, for an entire month, carrying your Bible with you wherever you went. And I started to think about the dilemmas. I started to think about a man that maybe was standing at a machine. I thought about somebody who is maybe in a professional setting. I thought about a woman who's maybe a man or a woman who's pushing a shopping cart through Walmart. I thought, wow, what would that look like? And it starts to dawn on me that that is exactly how our lives are supposed to look. We are supposed to be the walking, living word of Christ, no matter where we go, never putting the word down. I ask you this morning, do you have the word with you? Isaiah 55, verse 10. You can see it up on the board now if you want to see it up there. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I have sent it. Amen. If it comes out of God's mouth, it isn't words that he has spoken, it is words that he is speaking. It does not return void. No matter what he says, it will happen. It will be experienced. Now, I believe that Mercy Me grabbed the essence of this song, this verse, when they put together their song, Word of God Speak. And I've asked them to show that video for us. And what I want you to understand, I want you to just absorb this reality right now, that the Word of God has not spoken as in past. It is speaking as in present and future. It is now. The Word that God has spoken is now in our presence. And I pray that as we go through the rest of this service, that there would be a deeper sense of reality of the power of the Word, which is Christ, both written and spoken and presence of the person of Jesus Christ in your life. Guys, go ahead.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say.
Thank you. Do you ever find yourself lost for words? The last part of that song said it's okay. Why is it okay? Because God is speaking. And the question will echo throughout the church, who has ears to hear? What I want to tell you is I want to reemphasize to many of you what you already know to be true in many of your situations. In theology, you know that the Word of God speaks. But in practice, many of us put it on the shelf and don't pay attention to it literally for days and in some cases weeks. I am telling you that God's Word is alive, God's Word is active, and God's Word is happening. And what I mean by happening is I mean it's not just a situation of things that Christ said 2,000 years ago. If he said it 2,000 years ago, it is still echoing in the heavens today. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It is not something that we look backwards to in terms of looking back to some kind of a history book. Once he speaks, it will go out, and it will never return to him until it has fulfilled all that he has required of it. And I'm telling you that redemption is not done yet. His word is still echoing throughout human society and in nations. He said that all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to him. I will continue to reemphasize to you the glory of the Lord and that he, in fact, is Lord. The church must understand that the words of God are not just something that happened, but that they, in fact, are happening. This beautiful book that we've been given, that, by the way, many generations that have been before us have not had the privileges that we hold here in America. I have been to China where we're stuffing Bibles in our suitcases to try and sneak them across the borders in order to put a Bible not just in the hands of every church member, but in the hands of those who are preaching the word. There are many who are pastoring churches in China and in India who have never even had the privilege of having these pages like we have in front of us. It doesn't negate God's ability to work powerfully in those nations. All I'm doing is I'm reminding you and me as to what it is that we have. In the advantages that we have in this beautiful written book, this is not just a history book. It's not just like every other book that's on your shelf. It is holy and it is without error. And it is speaking. It is not just spoken, it is speaking. Right now, this beautiful book is speaking. And to those of you who maybe have not been part of Christianity, you don't get it yet as to what I'm saying. But stay in there. Stay in there. Push through it. I'm telling you that this book is alive. It's living and active. It doesn't even matter whether you understand it or not. It still is powerful. It still is powerful. And even our JBQers and our young people in this church know that there are how many different authors? Huh? At least 40 authors. And this book was written over how long of a period? 1,600 years. You've got different nationalities. You've got different places of authority. You've got prophets. You've got kings. You have the word that was spoken to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and priests and judges and kings, wise counselors, psalmists, and angels spoke these words. And how is it that this amazing book that has 66 different books in it, that over that entire period, it comes together, meshing and blending together with this book that brings so much power to the nations if they will just believe? Why do you think that hell is so bent on destroying this book in human society? Why do you think that our society is so bent on taking this book out of the hands of our children? And worse yet, out of the hearts of our children. Why do you think they don't want this book in legislation? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and wickedness in high places, authorities in the spiritual realm that want to destroy this book, or silence this book would be a good way to put it. And all those that were spoken in the Old Testament, all those who were spoken to in the Old Testament, like I listed from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the priests and judges, kings, wise counselors, psalmists, and even angels, there was one who was considered in some respects head and shoulders above all the rest, and it was the prophets of old. read it in the Old Testament as the prophet would speak, it would be as if God himself was speaking to his people. And not always was there that response, but when there was, it echoes again throughout the ages. But I want to show you something in a few minutes. I want to give you a description of what the prophets look like, okay? And I'll give you a reason why I'm doing this in a few minutes. The prophet, one of the Hebrew words was seer, and I'm not talking about just a medium or a palm reader or somebody who does tarot cards. That's demonic. I want to give you just a brief description. If you will do a search of the Hebrew word of prophet, you will find some of these descriptions that line up with it. In the English, it indicates a special ability to see into the spiritual realm and to foresee future events. Isaiah is a perfect example of that. Do you realize that Isaiah spoke the coming of the Lord and gave description of what it was going to look like some 500 to 700 years before it happened? I want you to tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. You tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. Can't do it, can we? The title of prophet suggests that the prophet was not deceived by external circumstances or appearance of events. It didn't matter what was going on in society. It didn't matter what was going on in the culture around him or in people's lives or even in the life of the prophet. The prophet was looking to hear from God. That was it. And not deceived by external circumstances or events. They stayed with the word that was spoken, no matter what kind of pressure that was given. I'm not suggesting they always did that well. He saw issues as they really were from the perspective of God. From the perspective of God himself. Can you imagine that? With the intent on conveying spiritual realities to God's people. The beautiful thing is, I don't think it was so much for the prophet, because the prophet already heard. The prophet already heard the words of God. Now it was his responsibility to convey them, those spiritual realities, to God's people. And I tell you, the beautiful transition that happened in the New Testament and the New Covenant is the Word became flesh. There was something that happened different in the spiritual realm. Before, the Word would come through the kings and the prophets and the priests and the angels. But something different happened when this one called Jesus came. Truth was being revealed to all who would hear. The Messiah was coming. The Word became flesh. My first point is this: ears to hear. Ears to hear. If I'm telling you the truth, and God's Word is not something that was spoken but is speaking, how many of you can hear what God is saying to the church? How many of you know what God is saying to the church? Do you? I realize you get some of these things, but let me just reiterate them, because we are so consumed with this world. There's so many that are fearful about economic conditions. We're so fearful about the decline in the value of our homes or the challenges that are found in our businesses. And we miss this reality of the Lord that became the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And that He has given us the ability to hear what His desires and His will is for everyone who would believe. In Revelation 2:7, it begins this process where the Spirit is speaking to the churches, and the Lord said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let's read in 1 John, if you would turn there with me. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. What happened was Christ's death and resurrection brought our spiritual senses alive. You heard me say that maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was talking about we have physical senses, but I'm telling you that in a spiritual dimension of who God has created us to be, His desire is for us to have spiritual senses as well. And you will find in your Christianity how much that plays into knowing Christ. And this is what John said. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to read all the way through verse 7. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we proclaim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." I realize how much information there is there, but I want you to see that the Word is alive and living and active within our own souls. Do not be deceived. The Lord is speaking. Are we attentive to what He is saying? Are we postured to hear from the Lord? Or are there so many other voices that are clamoring? How many of you have been on the phone and there's been background noise? Or how many of you use your cell phone? This used to happen a lot a year ago and even before that, where your own voice would echo back into the earpiece. Have you ever had that happen? It's a description of much of Christianity. When we're making an attempt to talk to our God, we hear our own voices talking back to us, or somebody else that's trying to talk to us on the same line. Our lives are so distracted that we don't have, quote unquote, time to listen for what God is saying to His people. Have your senses grown dull, where you cannot hear what God is speaking? The second thing I want to encourage you in is removal of the middleman. And now we'll go to Hebrews, because I want you to see something here. Hebrews chapter 1. Removal of the middleman. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets." Okay, let me remind you again. Let me go back to my prophet description, okay? Because in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. Who were the prophets? The prophets were the one that the indication of a special ability to see into the spiritual realm and foresee future events. They were the ones that was not deceived by external circumstances or the events that swirled around them. They saw their own lives and they saw the lives of God's people from the perspective of God Himself. They also recognized that they had the responsibility of conveying spiritual realities to God's people. That was the prophets. Now let's read the rest of it. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Verse 2, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. It is no longer isolated to just the prophet. Or I would suggest to you that each one as a believer can have the ability to be prophetic in their own life experience. Each person has the ability to fulfill the description of a prophet that I described to you. I realize that God has gifts in the church. I realize He gives prophets, He gives pastors, He gives teachers. Those are distinctive gifts to build up God's people. But that is not enough to sustain a godless society. God is scattering the body of Christ like a bag of seed. He's taking your lives and He's distributing you out among the godless for a purpose. And that purpose is that you would have that prophetic message of Christ locked up in your own soul and have the full experience of God speaking so that you, in fact, can transfer or convey spiritual realities to God's people, to the lost as well. Removal of the middleman. Don't reinstall the medium. Religion has a tendency to do that. Men and women have a tendency to do that. There are preachers, there are pastors who are trying to draw people unto themselves. They're trying to say, here am I, listen to me. I'm the prophet to the church. I'm the prophet to the church. I realize that God can use us in a multitude of ways. But any man or woman that is truly prophetic in their own mind will not draw you unto themselves. They will push you unto Christ. I have absolutely no desire to stand between you and God. It is not my job to be your mediator. It is not my job to hear from God on your behalf. God is speaking. Are you listening? That needs to be the answer, the question that each one of us figure out. Because otherwise your whole spiritual sustenance is going to be based on me and my regurgitation of what I have experienced. I realize that I can encourage you in the Lord, but some in the church, you have created a medium. You have reestablished the role of the priest. You have reinstituted the idea of the prophet, and you will let others listen to God for you. You will do this in a multitude of ways. You will do it through pastors. You will do it through singers. Some of you young people, the only word of God you get is by listening to Christian music. It's establishment of a mediator. Some of you adults, the only real word that you get is reading another book that is talking about what somebody else has heard. Are you hearing me? I'm not suggesting to you that we don't. There's beautiful books, but they are supposed to be confirming. They're not supposed to be a source of revelation to you. You see the difference? I am trying to push you to the Word. The Word became flesh. The next one is life can be hard. Yes? Can life be hard? But It is not intended to be confusing. Did you know that? Did you know that God said that He is not the author of confusion or disorder? If you have confusion in your life, it is because you do not listen to the Spirit's guidance. If your life is hard, that's normal. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. What he's saying to us is life is hard, but it is not intended to be chaos. It is not intended to be confusing. Why is it not intended to be confusing? Because the Word of God is speaking. It is speaking to the church. He is speaking to the individual. He is guiding those who will listen to His voice. Yes? I can't. Am I pushing a noodle up a hill here? You ought to try that sometime. And not one that's just been boiled, you know? Try and push a noodle uphill. Sometimes that's what it feels like. Are you going along with me here? Am I having to push you? My responsibility is to lead you to good pastures, not herd you. Because one, you say, come on, let's go. The other one, you go, get over there, come on. I don't want to do the second one, all right? Follow along. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through 13 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Listen, it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Do you know what that means? It means you are just as clear to God as this pulpit is. Nothing is hidden from Him. Nothing. The Word of God is living and active. I know that I've shared this testimony, I feel like 1,000 times, but I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. There was a time in my pastoral ministry, not but 2, 3, 4 years ago, when I started to feel dry and empty. It was hard for me. It was hard for me to even read the Word because my mind wouldn't process it in terms of lesson and sermon, and it just became so muddled. So I decided that I was going to believe that God's Word was living and active. And because of today's beautiful technologies, I had the privilege of being able to listen to it while I read it, or just listen to the Word. And so for weeks, the first thing I would do is listen to the Word when I got up in the morning. The first thing I would do before I laid my head down and went to sleep at night, the last thing I would do would be listen to the Word. I was very intentional. I said, God, I'm not going to try and figure you out, but I'm going to believe that your word is living and active. I'm going to believe that it is alive. I'm going to believe that it is powerful. I've got to believe that it is more than just another book on my shelf. And I'm telling you, to this day, I am experiencing the ramifications of those moments. When the Word of God became living and active within me, and He brought my dead, weakened spirit alive again, and it was just because I listened to Him. I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you is the truth. The fourth point is knowing God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. I told you that God is not the author of confusion. How many of you in this sanctuary, if I would say, to you. Do you know what God's will is for your life? How many of you would stand up and say, that's me? With a sense of deep confidence. And I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about what your life will look like in a year. I'm talking about that a life that rests in the hands of a sovereign God. I have an assurity in my heart that he will tell me the step that I need to take. If I need to step to the left, he will guide my path. If I need to step to the right, he will guide my path. If I need to make decisions in my life, in my marriage, in my family, he will guide my path. If I need to decide, should I buy that or shouldn't I buy that, he will guide my path. If I'm trying to decide as a young person, should I go to this school or that school, he will guide my path. If it has to do with a job that I'm considering, he will guide my path. He will let there be a peace inside of me that will make me filled with confidence that I can follow his leading because his word is speaking. Do you hear me? Do you live this kind of experience? Your life is not supposed to live in a state of confusion. If it is, you're listening to somebody else. Because God is not the author. Will you trust in the Lord that he is able to clear your mind and empower your spirit? But you have to decide that you are going to carry your Bible 24/7. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Maybe to some of you, it needs to be a physical demonstration of your determination to absorb who he is. But you can know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. You can. But there's two things that Romans 12, verse 12, say to us that you have to do before you're going to know. The first thing is do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. You have to stop. If you're going to hear what God is saying, you have to stop conforming to the patterns of this world. You have to. This world stands in hostility to our God. Some of you have stood in the shadow of those who stand in hostility towards God. Some of you have stood in fellowship with those who stand in hostility towards our God. The Bible is telling us to come out from the world and be separate. We're not supposed to go off to some mountain retreat somewhere and spend the rest of our lives with a lace doily on our head tucked away in some prayer closet. We got to get out there and tell them what we have heard from the Lord that speaks, right? We've got to go out and tell them. We have a job, we have a responsibility, but though you are in the world, you cannot be of it. You got to let the Word of God transform your mind and your heart. That's the second part. He told us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon I want to preach to you right now. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are locked up. Our minds are locked up. There's too many of you that live in a state of chaos because your minds are too busy on things that don't matter. Too many things that don't matter. You've got to let the stillness of the Spirit work in you. The last one is this. Is every moment in your life has a truth. Every moment in your life has a truth. I don't care what your circumstances are. If a husband and wife are standing there talking together, there's what he thinks, what she thinks, and then there's truth. And Wayne said, I'm usually the one that knows the truth. If five people get together, there's five opinions, and then there's the truth. Every situation has truth. In family squabbles, there's what you think, and then there's the truth. And what I mean by that is this beautiful word, and the written word and the spoken word of the Spirit always supersedes everything that you feel, everything that you think, everything that you think you know in every situation. We are easily deceived. The Spirit of God is not. How many of us spend most of our life trying to convince people that we are right? Says who? There's always a truth. And that truth is always founded on what this word says, upon which Christ has spoken. Are you with me? So here's my challenge to you. Surrender to his guidance. There's got to be an absolute sense of surrender to your life right now. Not to the world's ways, not to your own ways. How many of you want your epitaph or your headstone to read, I did it my way? Is that how you want to close this out? Is that what you want your life to look like? You want to be like old Blue Eyes? The young people are going, huh? But those of us who are at least 49 and older, we know what I'm talking about. Frank Sinatra. He's the one that sang the song, I Did It My Way. Okay. So, after church, Google it. And listen to it. And you will listen to one of the biggest deceptions that this world has all tried to feed us. Trust me, if you do it your own way, you will get your own results. But if you surrender yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you surrender yourself to the one who is speaking, you will never find yourself in a state of confusion. So what I'm telling you is you need to start listening, because God is speaking. He is speaking. He has already spoken and continues to speak through his written word. It continues to speak. It's coming off the pages. For those of you who have been diligent about reading this beautiful word, how many times have you read a verse 100 times and then you read it for the 101st time and all of a sudden this powerful thing happened in your soul? It came alive. Why? Because I'm telling you, God is speaking. He is speaking into your life and your situations. Let me give you a quick illustration and we'll close it up. God is speaking to us. He's trying to direct our lives. But we continue to want to do things our way because we will not listen to him. If I ask Bill Bennett, I want you to walk with me, Bill Bennett. I want you to do something after everybody leaves. What we're going to do is we're going to move 25 of these chairs. We're just going to move them to the back. And then after we move those 25 chairs, you and I are going to sit down right over here and we're going to have some beautiful fellowship. And so what Bill does is he grabs two chairs and runs out the door and starts running around, and he runs through the cornfield carrying these chairs. Bill? I'm saying, Bill, you didn't listen. I expected you to do some work. But see, here's the other part of this story. while Bill is running through the cornfield with two chairs on his back. He's doing it hard. He's working hard. He's also doing it faithfully. He's also doing it consistent because he knows that he's supposed to move the chairs. He's proud. He's proud. I listened to Pastor Dan and I'm moving the chairs. For 10 miles, he runs. And then he comes through these doors and I say, "What are you doing?" "I'm doing ministry." And he sits down completely exhausted. I just gave you a description of what most Christianity looks like. The Bible says, "Be still and know that He is God." When is the last time you were able to be still and hear something from Him? And He simply says to you, "Son or daughter, step left." And it will save you 10 miles of agony if you will just listen to what God is saying. How do you want to live your Christian life? I'm telling you, God is speaking. Do you have ears to hear? It will save you a whole lot of grief. And I want to reemphasize something. He does not want confusion to be in your life. Just because you're doing what you're doing sincerely doesn't mean you're doing what's right. Hear? And then you walk in obedience. For obedience is better than sacrifice. Wow. You go on the internet and you listen to that sermon 3 or 4 times. And you listen to what God is trying to speak to us. He is trying to bring revival back to His church. But we will never experience it if we do not start listening to what God is speaking.